Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back, everybody. An answer to our prayer. We wanted relevance with the Flyers again. We wanted excitement, and they made the hire we prayed for. Ladies and gentlemen, the new head coach of the Philadelphia Flyers, John Tortorella. Hi, John.
How are you, man?
John, I just want you to know we're with Al Morganti, who is in the Hall of Fame, and Keith Jones. I know you must have coached against him. Guys, say hi to John.
Hi, Torts. How you doing, buddy?
How are you, guys? Hi, Jonesy. Al, congratulations, Al. Well deserved.
Thank you very much, John. I'm
That's your first lie, Torts.
Just waiting for Jonesy to come in.
All right. John, I don't understand it. How is Larry Brooks and Al Morganti in the Hockey Hall of Fame and not John Tortorella? It makes no sense to me.
Oh, that's a loaded question. I'll leave that one alone.
All right, John, what you said that excited the city was you've always felt this was a great place for you. It was a match in the passion you show and the city does. Tell us a little bit about your connection to our city.
Well, just coming to the city as a visiting coach, I've been here so many times, and I remember back in the day, a long time ago, with the Tampa Bay Lightning, Bobby the Chief Taylor, who was our color analyst, used to bring me around to parts of the city. The Italian section had some dinners there, and just explained some of it, and got to know Paul Holmgren and Clarkie and all those guys so well through international hockey and just through going against them. I've just always loved coming here to play. I love being in the building. I love the atmosphere, the heckling, everything about it. And it's just such a great sports town. So I have thought of it. It's not a lie. I've always said, you know, before I'm dead and gone in this game, I would love a whack at coaching in Philly.
Wow. Well, we've been campaigning hard for you, John, because we think you're a match, too, because you're feisty. Like, you're passionate. Have you always been that way? Were you born feisty? Were you a kid? Were you feisty?
Well, in sports, you know, I was competitive. You know, I whatever word you want to use, I was competitive. I played all the sports and enjoyed the competition. And as I've been fortunate enough to get an opportunity to start coaching in pro sports and then to the National Hockey League, I like being involved. The players are the ones of the show. They're the ones with the juice. They're the ones that are doing it all on the ice. But I want to be involved with them. I feel the same thing as far as the winning and losing, and I want my players to know that. It's just who I am. I'm not going to be a coach that stands behind the bench with my arms folded and just going about it and trying to do a good job with no emotion. I'm just built that way.
John, how have you evolved over the years? I mean, you won a championship. How have you evolved? Is your style different now than when you first came into the league as a head coach?
Yeah, I think it's very important for a coach that you have to evolve with the athlete and where the game is. I mean, our game is totally different. Like back in 04, when we came through here fortunate enough, won games, a seven-game series against Philly and went to the finals, the game was different. And really, that year was probably the last year that I thought it was a man's game. I thought it was a lot more physical. There were a lot of other things going on in the ice. The honesty of the game was held by the players, not by supplementary discipline and how all the rule changes have kind of changed our game. So you got to change yourself, and athletes have changed. I'm trying to be more patient and listening more to the athlete. I think it's relationships now that coaches and players need to have. It's not coach talking down to a player. It's not dotting every I and crossing every T, because it is a game of mistakes. There are so many mistakes made in today's game. So you have to feel your way through it, and it's kind of a partnership with the player and the coach. Having said that, though, it's a fine line there. You've got to make sure as a coach that you don't lose that. You don't let them run amok on you, and you still got to keep the discipline. So that's kind of the tricky part of it as far as building relationships, but also letting them know you're going to make the final decision and you're going to hold them accountable.
That's a great answer, John. The chemistry in a locker room, the culture, could you talk a little bit about how the coach ends up creating that? Because that's very important to you, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, I use the word the standard of how you carry yourself, culture, accountability. They're all, you know, I've been talking for a few days here now. They're all nice words. They sound great. But it is a process to get there. It is a process of going through experiences. And that's, you know, I think that's my biggest, that's the number one thing I'm looking at. I think we need to create an identity here with our team. I do think we need to play to the city and the personality of the city and kind of grow together that way. But when you start talking about standard and culture, that's an everyday process. You may have some conflict and arguments along the way. Athletes need to be pushed into certain situations and test them, see what they are. Do they give in or do they want more? So these are the things I'm going to have to find out about. And basically, you're trying to find who do you want on your bus. And some guys aren't going to be able to handle it. Some guys are going to thrive in it. And those are the decisions we're going to have to make and decide who rides with us and becomes a Philadelphia Flyer and try to get back to the standard that this organization has been.
You were talking about Scotty Hartnell and Columbus and coming onto that team and needing to change that culture some, John. If they push back, like I think Josie has told me, Kevin Hayes is a very big figure in the locker room you're going into now. What's the process? How do you do it? Is it contentious? Give us a little insight into how you change it.
Yeah. It depends on the athlete. It depends on the person. Don't get me wrong here, guys. I'm not going in there looking to fight people and argue with people. I'm going in there, and I'm going to try to make them the best hockey player, get them to a different level that maybe they haven't been to before. I think that's my job. And sometimes I'm not sure if it's trying to develop a hockey player or develop the person. That's the pretty cool part of being a coach in a locker room setting, is you're developing the person too. So people react differently to it. And as a coach, when you're coaching each individual player and trying to get them to play under a team concept and be accountable to how we play, different things happen with different people. So I tell my assistant coaches when we talk about this, is a great question, that you got to be ready to go whichever road they want to go down with you. You got to be ready to go there. Some may accept it. Some may have a little bit of fight to them and come back at you, which is terrific. I welcome that. Because then you get some honesty going each way. And as long as you know both parties' situations that we're trying to get the player and trying to be the best for the organization, as long as that's known and it's not personal, then you'll find your way and you become tighter and the camaraderie comes into play. So I don't have one particular answer to give you, because it's going to happen probably 15 different ways when we're coaching the players.
I got to tell you, John, this is awesome stuff I'm hearing this morning. And here's the thing. If your relationship with the media has had its moments as well. And I was just hearing, and I love that. Don't get me wrong. If somebody asks a dumb question, you should say, what the hell are you doing? I love that. And I guarantee you there'll be some of those here. But you met with the media on Tuesday, and part of it was off the record. I don't expect you to go on the record now, but John, what's your approach to talking to the people that are bringing the sport to us, the media people? Well, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, well, it's a big part of the job. You know, listen, I'm not good at it 10 minutes after a game. I never will be. I'm trying. I really am trying. But I'm invested in the game. I'm in the emotion of the game, and I guess it's the league rule. You got to get there as quickly as possible. I get it. One thing I've learned, and I've made some mistakes, and a good friend of mine, Jim Schoenfeld, told me, he says, just remember, they're going home to families. This is their job. They have families, and I've made some mistakes. I don't want to embarrass anybody, and I think I've done that at certain times, but it's hard for me after games. But I think the biggest thing for me as I approach this group here, this city, is it gives me an opportunity, I think, sometimes when they're asking me questions, to maybe let them know really what is going on there versus what maybe some people think they know what's going on, and they really don't. So it gives me an opportunity to explain my team. It gives me an opportunity to explain what I'm thinking, and maybe other people that are writing and guessing what I'm thinking is wrong. So I need to understand that, but, you know, I'm honest, and I'm, you know, there'll be some situations, I'm sure. They try to poke at you. It's part of their job, and sometimes it's good days, sometimes it's bad days, and I explained that to them the other day when we were sitting in the locker room. There was nothing personal with me, but, you know, I make mistakes, and there'll be some situations as we go through this, as long as we keep on working together and try to find the other end.
John, I'm going to tell you, I love this honesty. You and Howard Eskin are going to be a party for us. Eskin will try to ask you very annoying. It's like you and Larry Brooks when you first were up in New York. I'm telling you, John, it's going to be delightful. You're going to love it. I'm telling you. I've been around a long time. There's a real good chemistry that's going to develop there. It's going to be great. John, that wasn't really a question, so I'll ask you one. How much input, he's going to get me now, how much input are you going to have into the creation of the roster, new players brought in?
Yeah, Chuck and I, and you know, I got to tell you, we went through a long process with the interview process. I've never really interviewed that much. It seems like I've come in a lot of my jobs in the middle of a season, or you know, you just come in. So it was kind of new to me. I've gotten to know him quite a bit, very quickly. He's brought me in all sorts of situations, asked for opinions. We've had some great dialogue, and I think that's what it's going to be. I don't know, you know, when you're talking about the junior players and drafts and stuff like that, I know nothing about those players because I'm so involved with the National Hockey League team and the National Hockey League players. We've already had discussions on National Hockey League players when you're talking about free agency, trades, or whatever it may be. We've had discussions on that, so he's been terrific as far as so easy going and easy to talk to. We've had some great discussions.
All right, John, one last thing. Al and I are both Italian, like yourself, and I was somewhat concerned when I saw that at one time your nickname was the Paper Italian. What
no
is
chance.
That? Do
stop,
you know what that
right
is?
There. Stop right there. That is. I don't know what that started. It's just like. I've never been called that. I don't know who brought that out.
Ah.
It's never happened. I don't know what the hell it means.
Neither do I.
All right, hold on. John,
Angelo's dad used to call him that, too.
My dad called me that, John, but that was what I just asked. That was a stupid question, huh?
Yeah, so Angelo, let someone else ask some questions because you're going down the wrong way.
I love it. I love it. Jonesy, ask something.
All right, George. So you had a year to sit back and watch the league. It's the highest scoring season the NHL has had in a couple of decades. What's changed?
Yeah, Jonesy, and you know, I think Jonesy's one of the hardest working. I see him everywhere. Mm-hmm. I have to say that on air here. I can't believe how many things you are doing as far as this game's concerned. And you've watched it. You see how many mistakes are being made. And it's not all mistakes. We've got tremendous talent coming into this league, tremendous youth coming into it. I think a little bit of the structure has gone a little south because just the way the athletes are now. I think the attention span of athletes usually you get them. And Jonesy, you probably had them for a couple of minutes, and you try to explain something, then you lose them. Right now, it seems like it's probably about a minute or so, and then they're off. They're just thinking about other stuff. I think that has a little bit to do with this, but you have to understand how skilled some of these players are coming into it, and the rules have been enforced. And I think they're just allowing teams, and they're getting some ice to play on with the new rules, and we've got some tremendous skill reacting to it.
John, we love you, man. You're going to be awesome in this city. I'm telling you right now, this is a great match. We wish you nothing but success. Thank you so much for doing this today.
Great talking to you guys. Thanks for having me on.
John Tortorella and Al Heath.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.